Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Update with Living Compassion. And as you've heard, I'm pleased to be joined by Julian, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in Zen Awareness Coaching. Welcome, Julian.
Hey, oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
I signed up for coaching right after the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat last August, mainly because I couldn't believe how much my practice grew after that direct contact with Sangha.
Uh-huh. Yeah, having that, well, boy, being on retreat, it's like, wow, look at the growth in practice. And it's kind of like, I guess if I'm hearing what you're saying, it's like, well, I'm going to continue that. But there's this coaching that they're talking about. I think I'll sign up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember hearing about it on the radio show for years and, you know, not knowing, you know, how to do it, and then realizing after I had been through the retreat that I was able to, that I had enough practice under my belt that I could sign up. And that was really all I needed in terms of motivation to get started.
I've met the requirements, and I want to keep building on that growth that I've seen. And so you were ready to go.
Yes, absolutely. And so I don't know if folks are like aware of what exactly coaching entails, but I'm happy to talk a little bit about that if that would be helpful.
Well, I think yes, and probably the most helpful thing would just be to talk about your experience of doing coaching, maybe how it's benefited your practice.
Sure. Well, in many ways, there's a lot of levels that I feel like are helpful. In terms of just day-to-day, one thing that's wonderful about the coaching is that all the sessions are recorded. And so it becomes like yet another thing in practice that you can access whenever you need it. And so, you know, some days I'll get off of a call that I've recorded and I'll listen back, you know, several times throughout the day because so many insights are dropping in as you're talking with your coach about, you know, the process that you're looking at. And odds are it's also relevant that it's going to come up again that day in real time, and you have that recording, you can just put it right on. And it's a pretty incredible resource in that way.
Yeah, boy, that is an incredible resource, Julian. It really speaks to one of the powerful pieces of recording and listening, that listening part and having those coach calls recorded where all those insights are coming in. And, you know, at least for me, sometimes it's like I'm right there, and then sometimes I'm not really right there. And so later I get to pick up the whole thing. And if I'm with you, it can be used any time. You could just be going about your day and listening to that process that's going on in coaching, which includes those insights dropping in as a support to whatever's going on in your life at that moment.
Oh, yeah. Yep, absolutely. And in sort of leading up to come on this call today, I started listening back on coaching that I had done, you know, this fall, and how much of that content is still relevant is also amazing, because, of course, ego will say, like, oh, that's an old call. Like, listen to a newer call. But it's all, it's so, you know, it's just super helpful. I was revisiting a call. I had some content come up. In the fall, I had a really bad back injury. And so a content focus that I had for a series of calls with my coach was all about what ego was telling me about that injury, about how I was never going to get better, and what the pain felt like and what it meant. And I actually, it was amazing to revisit those calls because my back has improved dramatically since then. And I hadn't really had a chance to celebrate how much better it's gotten.
Yeah.
And revisiting those calls, it was like, oh, wow, that was, man, I can't believe all of the messaging I was receiving and how wrong it was.
Gosh, again, another great point around why it's so helpful to be listening back. I mean, in all kinds of ways, right? Like, as you said, the voices can say, oh, it's old content, you know what? But the process, and essentially, of becoming more aware and the process of insight is always relevant. And then in particular, you know, listening back to this content with back, you know, it'll go on and on about the pain, right? And how awful it is and how it's da-da-da-da-da. But it's funny how it doesn't really remind you when that pain is gone and to celebrate. But the way you caught that was to be listening back and go, wait a second, my back actually is feeling pretty good. And I think I'm going to take some time to celebrate that, to acknowledge that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like the vast majority of calls involved, you know, a time where I was recounting something that, you know, was difficult or an area in practice where conditioning was saying, you know, you're coming up short here or here. And I feel like having a coach is so helpful because so often it just takes sort of twisting the perspective just slightly to see where the practice successes actually are. And they're often in the places you're being told that you're failing.
Ooh,
and having
that's
somebody
that's kind of big
who,
to see, isn't it?
Yeah, having someone who can just turn you slightly to that other perspective that's available is so, and you don't have to go anywhere. It's already there. It's just, it can be hard to see it sometimes.
You know? Yeah, exactly. As I'm following Julian, the way you describe that, it's like we come and bring, you know, a challenge that's going on. And often it's the voices, you know, and believing like there's some kind of shortcoming, you know, or I can't handle something. Yeah. And with the coach, essentially, it sounds like that process assists you in directing the attention. And as the attention moves off of the voice telling you, you know, you're not enough or however that goes, for, you know, for all of us, what's revealed is, wow, there's actually a lot of successes. And I love that insight because it's kind of like actually it's the successes that get kind of hidden right on that same content, I think is what you're saying. The successes are hidden underneath the, you know, you're not quite doing it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And it's it's such a revelation to see that they have been right there the whole time. You know, I love that component of practice that nothing really needs to change about what's going on in your life. It's just it's like it's where your attention is. I have such the coaching program is amazing. And I also did this thing where I could tell every time a session was about to finish that ego would start to say, oh, you can't afford it this next month. And so what I would do is as soon as I would get my paycheck, I would just pay for it immediately because I knew that I was going to get talked out of it otherwise. And that same process led me to sign up for the year-long retreat. I was just like, okay, I'm expecting these voices are coming. As soon as those funds are available, I know where I want to put them because I can't think of a better place to spend money than on this process, you know, and looking,
no kidding, right?
Like, you know, trying to be here with my life, you know?
Gosh. And just another concrete benefit of doing awareness practice. You're aware of how the voices operate. You know that they're going to try to talk you out of or quit things that are actually beneficial to you. So you're like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. What I'm going to do then is go ahead and put this money aside and pay for it because I know it benefits me. And I know that if I don't do that, I have the chance of getting talked out of it. I mean, what a win for the human being, huh?
Right. Exactly. It really is. It's such a win. And it's just, I you know, I listened to this radio show for years before I ever really made the leap to dive deeper into practice. And I really feel like once I just said, you know what, I'm doing it, I'm going on retreat, that just one door just led to another that led to another.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible the amount of support that's available. And the effect on my practice is just so, I'm just so grateful for it. I really am.
I'm right there with you, Julian. And it really is where you started from. You know, and what I'm hearing and listening for a long time before maybe you came on retreat or did something else was you were listening and that was part of your practice. And then when you were ready, it sounds like it was just clear, you know, like I'm taking the dive. And then, you know, I don't know if coming on retreat was your first next thing, but you came on retreat and it's the same process you talked about with going to coaching. You're like, whoa, there's a big benefit to that. And you just went into the next open door and signed up for coaching. And it's really how you're continuing coaching. I know I want to do this. I'm putting money aside, open the door and walk on through. And it sounds like it's just building and building the more you follow that process.
It is. It really is. And it's wonderful to find myself throughout the day just doing practice without thinking about it. I found that happening recently where I'm just in the middle of the daily assignment. And I'm like, I'm just doing practice.
Yeah, and this is what Julian does.
It's a wonderful place to find myself in the moment. So instead of getting talked about doing it. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's such a, I mean, it's such a good example too of what happens when we practice and we stick with it the way that you've talked about. And it doesn't sound like it's been a huge effort to stick with it. It sounds like it's just a clear enjoyment and gratitude for the practice. And so you just keep following that. And then what happens is the default, is what I hear in what you're saying, becomes practice. And all of a sudden we look around and we're like, oh, I'm practicing right now.
Yes, I think that feels very much like the evolution I've seen. It's just awesome.
And in coaching, it's just awesome.
I want it for everyone. I do.
I hear you. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. Because in that evolution you're talking about, coaching has been so integral. That support and that commitment has been so integral in that evolution that you want for everyone.
Yes, it really, really has. Putting yourself out there and in this way where you're saying, you know, I want to wake up, I want to be present to my life, and having someone offer direct support in assisting you in doing that is like, it's deep, like beautiful work that I am just delighted to be a part of. So, yeah.
Mm. Deep, beautiful work indeed. Wow. Thanks, Julian. Was there anything else?
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I think you summed it up beautifully right there, but was there anything else that you wanted to offer before we go?
I don't think so. Just I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to make contact for sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Julian, and offering your experience. Yeah. Okay, Michael, we'll turn the show over to you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Julian. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I love that conversation. I just love that conversation. You know, I go on and on, as you know, about how great practice is. And that was such a beautiful articulation of getting to that place of, I want to end suffering. I want this human being to live a full and happy life. I'm going to take the steps involved in making that happen. And what Julian demonstrated for us is we do that. We get a ton of support, not just support from practice, but a ton of internal support that guides us to, and now what? And now what? And now what? And our lives just get bigger and fuller and happier with every step we take. And so I'm right there with, boy, I want that for everybody. You know, the voices want to turn it into, oh, this is going to be hard. It's going to be so painful. You can't do this. And, you know, you're not going to fit in. And your problems are so big. And, you know, they're not going to end with the blah, blah, blah. and all we have to do is just say, no, I want this. I want this for this human being. I want this person to be happy. And here we go. So... Thank you for that, Julian. Thank you, Scott.
Yes. Yeah, especially appreciated Julian talking about that door opened and then the next door opened and then the next door opened. And,
and you just do what you need to do to walk through it, right? Because conditioning is going to give us all kinds of advice about how to spend money. As we're learning in the year-long retreat, most of it bad, right? And to just say, well, actually, I want to spend money on what's most important to me. And what's most important to me is this human being. Because without this human being, having money to spend just isn't going to be that meaningful. So I'm going to invest in what I value most, this human life.
Yes. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I bet you have announcements for us.
Yes, right on schedule. Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, May 4th through 11th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Such a lovely way to be there.
Yes, yes, beautiful. Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to deepen support for awareness practice in the peace and beauty of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. These weekends include a practice activity and guidance with you, Sherry, or Ashwini.
Uh-huh.
Practice weekend is coming up May 16th through 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Journey through the poems of the great mystics at a brand new retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in May. The Blessed is the Knowledge of Emptiness retreat offers an opportunity to have your own direct experience of the divine shining through. This retreat, May 27th through June 1st, includes guidance with you, Sherry, and is for those with an established awareness practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's very clear, because what we're looking at is, you know, people who have been practicing along with us. And it's not just any awareness practice, but this awareness practice.
Yeah.
And so kind of that group that we call old timers. So,
old-timers, yeah. Yes.
And in some of our cases, it's accurate.
Right. The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats provide an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Two retreats are coming up at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, June 8th through 15th, and June 29th through July 6th. For these and other opportunities, please visit livingcompassion.org.
Yeah, and in addition to that, the coaching that Julian was talking about, that There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat is a prerequisite for that. So, because it is such, gives a person such a solid foundation in what the heck we're doing here. So if anybody liked the idea of that coaching and wants to participate in that, then sign up for one of those retreats and have your life just changed completely for the better and happier, and then be, ready for coaching if that's something that appeals.
Great, great.
Mm-hmm.
And a few reminders for today. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can press *6 and then 1. That's how you make a show. And a conversation on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes in length. And Sherry, I think we are ready here.
Good.
All right,
here
we go.
Mm-hmm.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, happily. This is Carol from Port Townsend.
Hello, Carol.
Hi. Hey, I've been really wanting to get on, and I just had some new stuff that I noticed about money and how sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it brings me into conflict with other people and into an adverse relationship. And so there's this belief that I need to get that things are worth a certain amount of money and you should get what you pay for. And so I've just been in this situation where I've been on taking a little trip. And so I wanted to cancel my room for 2 nights. And I was afraid that the ego was afraid that the woman wouldn't let me cancel and that I'd have to pay for those nights I needed to cancel. And so for a whole evening, Eagle made up a whole story about I was going to have to pay for twice, and the place wasn't that nice, and and all my excuses and everything, so like in my mind, in Eagle's mind, I was fighting with this woman who hadn't ever met, and I don't want to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather, yeah, what I wanted to do was say, okay, I would like to cancel. This is what I would like. And what do you want to do? How can this work for both of us? So when I came to that realization, I just had this huge sense of relief to not be having this imaginary fight.
Right. She hadn't even had a chance to get into the argument, right?
No.
Playing both sides. This is what you say, and then this is what she says, and then this is how that's going to go, and this is, yeah. And
yeah.
To get to that place of, well, let's have a conversation with a real person.
I know, and then I talked to her in the morning, and she said, oh, no problem. And, yeah, okay, oh, thank you, no problem. Oh, you're right, no problem. So,
wow.
Yes, this is something that I haven't seen before. And sometimes with my friends, when we're sharing expenses, traveling, there's a little bit of, well, you want to do this? I don't think it's worth what we're paying. And so that's something that I'm looking at, you know, what does it mean to be worth, you know, what a person's paying for something?
Well, and what I just heard in what you said is, you're now going to be looking at the possibility that that voice that says that might be mm-hmm. the same ego voice that's going through this whole imaginary conversation with this woman, right?
Yeah.
That voice of ego just wants to get you into your head, into a conversation with it, right?
Yeah.
Focused on it. Yeah. And it may not actually have anything to do with the reality of whatever is going on.
Right. And so one thing, I made my morning recording, and it was, let's see. I can't remember all of it. But one thing is, I don't know what people's financial situation is and why they would charge for something. And everybody's caught up in their own whatever craziness about money, so I just don't know about anything. And and then I want to live in a world of trust of other people and like what they're charging, and then I want to celebrate my prosperity, and I have money to spend, and
there's nothing wrong with any of it, right? So if you and I are traveling together, and I do or do not want to spend whatever on whatever, and you do or do not, and we are in different places, that can be really interesting to have a conversation about, right? And then we get to use our facilitation skills and find out what goes on with somebody else.
Yeah, yes, exactly. This is so good.
Yeah, so rather than going with ego that just wants to judge somebody.
Yeah, right. Judge everyone. Judge my friend. Judge the people that are probably charging too much. And so I was finding myself, well, if this woman makes me pay for the night I canceled, I will pay, but I'm going to resent it. So, I mean, ego, this is all ego's going to resent it. So I thought that my practice for my commitment is whenever I spend money on anything, I'm going to say to the person, thank you for receiving my money.
Aha.
I'm happy to give you this money. You know, we're not fighting and we're in this exchange.
Yes. So thank you for this relationship that we're in.
Yeah.
I mean, you might not want to say that out loud because that might kind of freak the person out. But within you, the thank you, when you say thank you, you really mean it.
Yeah.
You're thankful that you have the money. You're thankful that you can offer the money, that you can share what's yours. You're thankful that you can receive whatever you receive in exchange for that.
And then I have the opportunity to give them money for whatever it is.
Because that's a lucky place to be, isn't it? I mean, a blessed, fortunate, however we want to talk about it. I want to go do this thing, and I have the money to pay for it.
I know.
Because all ego wants to do is take the fun out of it. Right? You can go and you can pay, but if you get into that kind of negativity with ego, then all that's going to happen is you're not really going to enjoy it.
So I'm really happy to have seen, to have had this opportunity, you know, to see this new stuff around money. And I look forward to having real conversations with my friends if it becomes an issue rather than imaginary conversations.
Well, and what just occurred to me when you said that is you could have those conversations even when nothing's going on, right?
With a friend.
To just be able to say to a friend, you know, I've been looking at this thing because I've realized and what you've realized and, you know, what happens with you about that? Because all I ever know is what goes on inside my head. And they'll probably tell you what goes on to the best of their ability. And if it's money, that's pretty intimate. Good. Fun.
Yes. Yep.
Helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Go
you
happy.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. Sherry, I enjoyed that part about having imaginary conversations with people who aren't there and how helpful that is.
And
how much time I've invested in that internal conversation just to get a response of, oh, yeah, that'll be fine.
That'll be fine. No problem. Good. It's obvious the other person has not given it a second of thought, right?
Yes.
Oh, golly.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. Hi. I've been looking at financial karma as well. With the year-long retreat, and so that I was following along, and I was nodding my head all the way through that conversation, and I probably could use some guidance around this. I think what's happening is I'm kind of bouncing from one end of the continuum to the other, and my karma is that, and I've talked to you about this before, that I feel responsible with friends that that don't have resources, and then when something comes up with them, all of a sudden I'm in my head trying to fix it, maybe financially, maybe, you know, I'm just trying to fix it. And it's triggered by finances, actually. So other things that other problems they might tell me about, I may not try to fix, but financial stuff I do. And I've actually done that a few times, and it actually didn't feel that great. So I looked at that, and you know, really kind of looked at that and thought, okay, this is about my own adequacy, my own adequacy to withstand my own discomfort when I see them struggling and I'm not. You know, and all that comes along with that, like it's hard for me to enjoy what I have when they're having such a hard time and all of that. So I looked at that and I made a recording about that I was going to practice just not not when that when those subjects come up for them, that I was just not going to engage any conversation in my head about how to fix it, fix things financially or offer to help or anything. I was just, and that was, so then I went to the other end of the continuum. And I think what I'm seeing is that none of it is from center. That's what I'm seeing. I mean, none of it is, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
maybe it's,
yeah,
a necessary step that I have to go to the other end of the continuum. But I also know there's, from a heartfelt place, you know, from a centered heart place, there could be any number of possibilities. And
well, this, here's what I'm wondering as I listen to you.
Okay.
Because it seems like, now I'm projecting, okay, but what I heard in both sides of that is, if you let conditioning take over, you're either going to give them everything you've got and whatever happens with that, or give them nothing, right?
Yeah.
But you actually have the skills, the tools and techniques to be able to be with a person and facilitate them. So, you know, I'm telling you my tales of woe about what's going on with me financially, and you can facilitate me and listen and be there with me and offer me support and in looking at whatever it is that's going on with me. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do anything or that you're going to do nothing. But by the end of that exchange, because you'll be coming from a much more centered place, given that you're facilitating me, you will probably be quite open to whatever the intelligence that life is offering for you as a step.
Yes. Yes, I can see that. And then also I'm even wondering if there's even, I mean, I'm also seeing that, you know, that none of these things really have anything to do with me. How would I say this? That, I mean, I remember one time recently saying something, probably giving some unasked for unwanted advice when somebody was telling me about their financial woes. And what came back to me was, you know, this person said, I'm very resourceful. I really know how to take care of myself, you know, like, and I was like, oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
And so there's a trigger that happens for me around finances when people are having a difficult time, that somehow ego makes it about me. Well, that's not any surprise. We know how ego makes things about us. But it's,
that's right.
It's
and you forget when you get triggered that you can facilitate.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. When it comes to finances, I forget that I can facilitate.
Yeah, yeah. And facilitation is really our secret weapon, right?
Yeah.
In what you also just described, which is not making somebody else's life my business, not making it, letting ego make it about me, but really being there to support in whatever way might be helpful to them.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, well, thank you. That sounds like the next step.
Yeah.
So who knows where things will go from there, but it's just, it's such a big topic for me for some reason. And
yeah.
And it's...
Oh, I think it is for most of us, Karen.
Yeah.
And you know, if finances, so I'm picturing a little money equals, you know, a little equal sign, facilitation.
Oh,
financial equals facilitation, the two F's, that's even better, right?
Yeah.
Financial equals facilitation. Then whether it's them or you, right? Whenever there's anything going on about financial, you know, oh, uh-huh, what happens now is facilitation.
Okay, that's really great. That's a that sounds like a better poster for me.
The two F's.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Financial equals facilitation. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Karen.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. Sherry, I appreciated all that, and I can relate to all that also. It was great to break it down in the way that you and Karen did, down to the details and what the triggers are and how to move forward with it.
Yeah, and so, you know, in advertising our programs, right, there's reflective listening buddies, you know, where people actually practice facilitation skills, right? And so with that, we really can facilitate, we can reflect anybody, including us. So we don't have to get out there in the middle of conditioned mind somewhere, get completely thrown off. Karma leaps in to say, well, this, and you should do that, and you have to that, and by the way, it's all leading to feeling bad. We can just use those skills to extricate ourselves from ego suffering, whether it's ours or somebody else's.
Yes, yes. And in my experience, that facilitation, that reflection, provides opening for life to offer me, you know, whatever the next step is or what would be helpful.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it just gives us that distance. We get to disidentify enough that the wisdom can come through instead of the ego trying to drag us into a dark place somewhere.
Yes, yes. Great. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Program. And Jerry, I wanted to remind folks, Practice Recorder app for the iPhone exists. It's great for recording and listening. It's, folks can find it in the iPhone's App Store, and it works with the new iOS operating system.
All right.
Yes. And
it's a good one.
It's a good one. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my gosh, it's me?
Yes,
it's you.
Oh,
absolutely you.
Oh, my, wow, I knew this was going to happen. Okay. Whew. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. I'm Danielle in Western Massachusetts.
Hello, Danielle. Are you breathing?
Well,
Are you breathing?
I'm barely.
Well, take a minute.
Wow.
Take a minute. We're not in a hurry here.
Oh, thank you. Wow. First time. I am really new to you and your work, Sherry, and just the last couple months I've been really diving in and rereading There Is Nothing Wrong With You and listening to Open Air Archives obsessively and doing a lot of recording and listening, but I'm sure you've covered this question in a lot of different places, but I'm new and really anxious to do this right. That's not quite the way I want to say it. So mostly I just talk to the mentor, and it feels really easy to access mentor. It's been doing amazing things for me, and I'm so grateful. But I'm a little confused about the first part where the parts speak, the person speaks, and I've heard you say in other open airs that we don't let negative self-talk get hold of the recorder. But I find that when I'm letting the person speak and just letting her go, she'll go to places like, oh, I feel like nobody likes me, and I'm so fat, and, you know, whatever the content is. And I'm wondering if that's what you mean when you say we don't let that get recorded.
That is such a good question. Because the way you describe it, I would say you're doing exactly what we hope will happen. So she's getting to talk. Right, she's getting the one who feels like nobody likes her and that she's fat and whatever else is going on. She's talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you start hearing nobody likes you, you're fat and you're ugly and you're stupid, and that's nobody's ever liked you. Okay, we know
exactly.
We've crossed the line into self-hatred here, right? But the person who is the recipient of that hatefulness usually talks to you about the very things they're being beaten over.
Mm.
So self-hate, calls her fat, says that she's fat or she's going to be fat or whatever it is, and she hears that, right, and takes that in. And it's probably been going on for a long time. And so it's really easy for a voice to come in and say something like that and have her plunge into hopelessness and despair, right? So as you go along, now, first of all, conditioning, ego, self-hate, will learn practice right along with you, right? So you're learning how to talk to the mentor and hear the mentor, it's going to start practicing talking like the mentor. Okay?
Mm.
But the beauty of it is that as you're doing the practice, you will begin to hear the difference. It'll get to the point where you cannot be fooled by ego coming in and attempting to mimic the language of practice or the words of the mentor or that sort of thing. You'll hear it. It's just off, and intuitively you'll sense the difference. So you don't need to worry about it's going to slip in there and take over and say something. Because if it does, all that'll happen is you'll get more clarity about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've experienced that where I sense that I haven't completely dropped into the mentor and there's something else giving me advice about what I should do. And
And it's really good to hear it. And then, you know, the next recording can just be, so, I was just listening along, and what I heard was, and I can sense that that's a lie. That's not coming from clarity or center or the mentor or anything like that. That's got the sniff, the stench of ego on it, and like that. And then, you know, later you'll hear it again, that recording, and you'll be even more clear at this point in your practice about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it all comes together over time.
Mm.
As long as you keep doing it, you will never go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel a lot of trust in myself coming through this practice. And I'm so, so grateful, Sherry, for your work. Mm. Oh my God. It's really saved me in these last couple months in a way that I have not experienced with other kinds of practice.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody, but for the people that it's for, it's really for us. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. It feels like it's the first time I've felt my own self-love viscerally. Like when I hear the mentor speak to me, I feel the self-love like trickle down, and it's a completely new experience in my 27 years.
Yeah. And that's key, isn't it? It's that felt sense that makes the difference for us. We realize that what we're looking for is not going to happen in our head. Right? We're not going to figure it out. We're not going to, it's not like that. You just feel authenticity. You feel clarity. And if, you know, it's that place of, well, but how do you know? And we just go, well, I don't. But
yeah,
it seems like it. It feels like it. I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead here and see what happens. Because increasingly, as we practice, we realize it is true. There is nothing wrong, and we cannot make a mistake. And so that's what makes us increasingly adventuresome, right? Because I want to find out. The voices have been stopping me from, well, I want to find out. Do I need to be stopped? Is there validity there? Or, you know, am I meant to live a small, frightened life? Or actually, might there be more available to us? I want to find out. Mm. I'm not afraid.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at in my life, like recognizing all the ways that conditioning and self-hate have kept me really small and afraid, and and the way that the noodling keeps me in indecision and inaction.
Yep.
It's just...
Yep. Yep. Yep.
I mean, that's a whole another question and conversation that I can call in about another time.
Good. I'll look forward to it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Glad you pushed those buttons, and glad I got to talk with you. So I'll say take care of yourself, and I have great trust that you are absolutely about that. So, and the other thing that we like to say is go happy.
Yeah. Yep, I am finding happiness.
Good.
Thank you.
I'm glad.
Thank you, Sherry. Right. Thank you, Michael.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Danielle. And great to hear a new voice, and great to hear that commitment to practice, Sherry. Appreciate that.
Love that. Got a big old grin on my face.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Patty in Vancouver.
Hello, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. And I just have a grin on my face from that last caller's conversation too. I'm kind of a little bit like, whoa, okay, I got on, and my practice is to put my place in the queue, but now what to say is kind of what's coming up.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me about practice.
Well, there's a little bit of ego conversation in there about I've been away at a silent retreat in Vipassana for the past week and just came back, so I've missed, you know, a week of the year-long practice, and I'm trying not to let ego make that into a conversation because I have never had such a good silent retreat as I had silent retreat in that tradition ever. And I do attribute it to the ongoing daily practice I do with you and with the year-long retreat and with recording and listening and reflective listening buddies. All of that.
We got the tools.
Yes. And so when I'm there by myself, silent, the voices aren't getting in. Matter of fact, I'm getting insights into no self and into interconnectedness and into seeing the three characteristics and allowing intense feelings to come and go and thoughts to be, I'm separated from them, I'm not taking them personally. And I just really was very, very, I'm just very, very happy that I could go to do that and feel like, yeah, I have tools I can bring with me no matter what.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so I feel so happy about that.
As a matter of fact, I have this little personal opinion that nobody should attempt a retreat like that without tools.
Yep. Well,
because I have talked to so many people over the years who did those kinds of retreats and said, that's it. I'm never meditating again.
Yeah.
It's awful. I hate it.
Mm-hmm. And
but when you got the tools.
Well, that's right. This has really helped me to get into those voices and to really, well, all this year-long retreat, too, to dig down below the surface to things that I would not have known I believed or made assumptions about, that I no longer believe or make assumptions about. And so it's a more subtle process, I think, this what we do in the Zen practice. But I found the other good, too, in the sense of continuity of practice, of you know, when you're walking and walking, sitting, and you're with yourself in a loving way and in a, in a way where you can start to see insights, it was valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And to step into that retreat from the practice that I had done and you know, sort of daily practice, and then to come back after it to Easter and family, and I felt so balanced. It was just actually very wonderful. And I think the easiest to slip into retreat and out of retreat as if I were in daily life. And again, I attribute that to this practice.
Mm-hmm.
That we do.
Yeah, yeah. And so the one thing we have to clear up is no voices coming in to tell you that the fact that you are behind in the year-long retreat, no, actually you're where you are, and you will be able to catch up with those past exercises and you'll be right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, no problem.
And what I see is that by taking this week, looking at maybe a different perspective, that's what I needed to do then. That was the right thing to do.
Well, we don't know we just know that's the thing.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I meant
the
to
thing
say.
You that, did.
That yeah. was the thing that was coming up and was there then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yep.
so it was what it was and was, well, I yep. just assume that that's what was meant to happen then.
Yeah.
As opposed and, to dwelling on what I hadn't done and should have
that's
done.
That's exactly
like,
right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, because that is simply there, as you know, to suck the energy out of you.
Right.
And so we don't let them do that. Just say,
right.
Whatever. Yeah, here we are. What
right.
now? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's very good, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm just so grateful
good.
To you and to this practice.
I share that gratitude for this practice.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Patty.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. And that was sounded like a practice works conversation, Sherry.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael. Jeff in North Carolina.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, let's see. I think I'd like to talk about a process that I've been paying attention to and that there has been self-hate around. I actually talked to you a little bit about it on the year-long retreat call recently. Basically, I've noticed that when I'm kind of in the mode of doing the year-long retreat assignment every day, I keep up with it every day. You know, I just mm-hmm. always make sure to do it. And then when I get behind, then it's just like a totally different story. The process of trying to get caught up is, something else happens. And maybe more than one thing. One thing that happens is that I want to do it so well. I didn't get to do the first, the first month as thoroughly as I would have liked to. And, really trying to do this. And then it's just taking, I'm way back on
mm-hmm.
day six and,
mm-hmm.
You can see it. And then other times I don't get to it at all because I'm already behind. So, I've got so much to do. And so, yeah.
Let me see if we can break this down, Jeff, in a way that really simplifies it.
Okay.
And that is, instead of the content of that, and even the process that is also the content, that it's as simple as disidentified from ego, identified with ego. So when when you're disidentified, you're going along, you do the assignments every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get identified with ego. And as soon as you get identified with ego, then it goes into all of that quicksand and now I'm behind and I want to do it perfectly and I'm not able to do it as well as I would like. All those stories that come up that seem like they're real and that they have something to do with, in this case, the year-long retreat, but they're actually just what goes on when you get identified with ego.
Mm.
And that if we can catch on to that, that it's the, the on and off switch, if we can catch on to that, then all of those things that happen can be turned into messages that, I've identified with ego. There's been a takeover. That's what's going on. It doesn't, I don't have to have any conversations about being behind or wanting to do it really well or how I did with the last one or how hard, you know, I don't need to have those conversations because those are all the result of being identified with ego.
I think the hardest one for me to let go of is the, in quotes, perfectionism or whatever that is. And I think it's, you know, it's not just, of course, in this year, in the year-long retreat, but just certainly, I see it a lot with practice in general and other areas. But that, that line, I want to do it so well, you know, even if that's not said in words, that kind of orientation. And then there can be the should around it, you know, that's the right way. That's the responsible way. That's the only, that's
good
the way I'm going to get the most
way.
Out of it. That, what's that?
Mm-hmm. The good person.
What did you say?
Yeah, the good
right.
Person.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Jeff, yeah. Were you on the call when Karen and I were talking about finance equals facilitation?
Yes.
Okay. So here's one I'd like you to consider. Perfection equals cement boots.
Perfection equals what?
Cement boots.
Cement boots.
Okay. Can you picture it? Yeah. That all that perfection talk is designed to do is just stop you in your tracks. It's just going to keep you paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Keep you paralyzed such that you're not going to do anything. Because if it can't be done perfectly, then there's no sense in doing anything. And nothing is ever going to be done perfectly. And so there's just the, you know, you're trying to go on a run with your cement boots on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
wow.
And the reason that I say that like that is because we really do need to get it. That a word like perfect or perfection is just horse bucky. It is code for I'm going to control you into such a state of misery that you are going to you're going to be paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess you know what occurs to me around it, since it doesn't just say the word perfection, I wonder if what would be helpful then is for me to look at, well, what does it say? And
yes,
you know, how can I know
in the same way we were talking about before, right? That all of those words, those feelings, those statements, those whatever that mean that,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what they mm-hmm. mean. And catching on to, that's ego identification.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectionism equals ego identification. And, by the way, it comes with cement boots. So that's what that actually means. So when I get into all that, it's the right person, I really want to do a good job, and, you know, people are counting on me, and I don't want to let anybody down, and all of that, learning to realize, that is the litany of identification with ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy.
Because if we don't get it that all those things mean that, then we can be just bamboozled forever by any one of those. Well, I just want to do a good job. You know, I mean, who doesn't want to do a good job? Of course I want to do it because so-and-so, and they're counting on me, and if I don't, and this and that. And, I mean, truly, that a person could be paralyzed forever in that conversation. But if we get it, that there's no truth to that. There's nothing behind any of that. It's just designed to keep me noodling around in my head with ego until I'm completely miserable. Oh, and by the way, not only did I not do a perfect job, I didn't even do a half-baked job because I never got to any of it because I was busy noodling about perfection.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, maybe a disidentified, you know, what does the world look like? You do your practice, your assignments every day, you blah, 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 you know, whatever that is. Identified with ego. Perfectionism, and then, you know, what's underneath that? What are the subheadings there? You know, how are you with your with the year-long retreat? You know, well, I'm behind, and then it's too hard, and I can't really do it that well, and I can never catch up, and yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorting,
you know,
life out into here or gone.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think how one of the ways that it gets me a lot is because it's kind of like, I don't know, it, at least internally, it seems like a kind of a pseudo practice because, you know, I'm in quotes, I mean, of course, when I say it in this language, it sounds identified, but it's doing the right thing. It's being a good person. It's doing,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm really working hard,
yeah,
at practice, I'm, or whatever it is. I'm,
yeah,
being conscientious. I'm being responsible. I'm, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
So.
Yep. That's what we were just talking about with Danielle, right? That when once, as soon as we catch on to it, as soon as we start considering it, we can hear in that conversation where it's coming from. And when you, if you listen back to this, you'll realize it is completely egocentric.
Mm.
It's all about me, right? I'm going to be responsible.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to.
Wow. Okay, good.
Well, I know.
For that.
Trying to, if it weren't so freeing, it would be painful. But fortunately, we focus on the freeing.
All right. Thank,
yeah,
you very much.
Good job, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. And Sherry, we are 3 minutes to the top of the hour here.
Yeah, I think we're going to call it. And I just want to say, I know, you know, this is often the case, but right from the good news update, right through this last conversation, this has been a practice extravaganza.
Yes, it has.
Hasn't it? I mean, it was,
yes,
you know, really,
yes,
really sorting through it and seeing what happens to us when we commit to practice. And when we look to practice and focus there, and then, you know, all of the helpful insights that people offer about how we can get bambozled and what pseudo-Zen looks like and how not to get discouraged,
yeah,
when we get identified, how it's all, this is just all an opportunity to wake up and in suffering, can't make a mistake, can't do it wrong, just keep one foot in front of the other, kicking off those,
yes,
cement boots.
Yes, and it's a tremendous privilege to be a part of it all. It's
it
lovely.
It is, isn't it?
Pleasure.
I just love it. So grateful.
Yep.
So thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sherry. And
talk
go
to
happy.
You soon. Go happy.
Go happy. Good night.